SS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump in Paris for the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral. Before the ceremony, he met at the Élysée Palace with President Emmanuel Macron, who thanked Trump for his support when the fire broke out in 2019.
You were at that time present for the first time, and I remember the solidarity and your immediate reaction. So, welcome back again.
Well, thank you very much.
We are very happy to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Before departing for France, Trump continued to voice his support for Pete Hegseth, his nominee for defense secretary, who's denying allegations of sexual misconduct, excessive drinking, and financial impropriety. The FBI's joined the search for the killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO in New York City. Authorities have recovered a backpack they believe belonged to the shooter. Ceremonies today at Pearl Harbor. Today marks 83 years since the Japanese attack that killed more than 2,300 American service members. This is ABC News. Federal government's going to begin testing raw milk supplies to try to find bird flu. ABC's Steve Osunsami has more.
The federal government says that the newly ordered tests of raw milk samples for bird flu will start in less than 2 weeks. They'll take place at large dairy processing facilities in about 10 states as the USDA tries to drill down what farms and which herds are infected. Right now, how big of a problem this is a bit of a mystery.
Pasteurized milk, the kind bought in grocery stores, is safe. Students for Fair Admissions, the group that eventually succeeded in overturning affirmative action in terms of college admissions, is trying to do the same at military academies, saying that violates the Equal Protection Clause. But a federal judge in Maryland disagreed with their effort for the Naval Academy, saying criteria for service academies is fundamentally a military personnel issue under executive branch authority. The group vows to appeal. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Zommers. So you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge.
Yeah.
What's your kink?
Snowmen. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Nearly one in five Wisconsin newspapers shut down in the last year. It paints a grim picture for the future of local news provided by journalists who live in the communities they serve. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
This year alone, 130 newspapers nationwide shut down, according to a report by the Medill School of Journalism at Northwestern University. But amid an increasing climate of misinformation and media distrust among some Americans, the news outlets they say they trust the most are community newspapers. Professor Robert Aisen at the University of Wisconsin at Madison says in this polarized climate, where people choose to get their news matters.
It seems less and less that we're willing or able to see things that we may share in common. And that's exacerbated by a media ecosystem where we're not even getting the same information, where we're not even sharing the same basic set of facts.
A recent review of radio talk shows in Wisconsin found those with the largest audiences and the most advertising are led by conservative hosts who aired the most misinformation. Aisen says leadership is a major influence in this trend.
When you look at public discourse and you look at public figures and you see examples of a disregard for truth or disregard for verifying stories or disregard for fair and kind of accurate representations, I think that those practices encourage more of the same practice.
Wisconsin Democrats proposed a package of bills earlier this year aimed at strengthening local journalism and its workforce. One bill would offer a tax credit for local newspaper subscriptions, but it didn't pass in the state Senate.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tome Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, breezy, a high near 39. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low near 30. Partly sunny for Sunday with a high near 39. For Monday, a few sprinkles with a high near 42. 31, the high on Tuesday with flurries. Wednesday's high, 22.
Right now, 35.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, I'm back. The fog is lifted. The earth is shifted. It raised the gifted. You knew I'd be back, so pack your bone to hit the road, Jack. Cause daddy's home with the funky hot friends.
What's up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish, alongside the great, the powerful, Wizard of Wisconsin, Danielle Fairman and Ellie Mae Smoller joining us in the studio today. Man, is there a better week in the state of Wisconsin, Danielle? Is there a better week than the week before Thanksgiving? I mean, really?
Absolutely
for hunting.
Not. Absolutely not. Everything you can do out there, you can do, especially the deer hunting for the gun deer season, which I did not get a thing.
I didn't either.
Whoa. What?
We did deer drives and hunted every single day.
Hunters. You guys are like for real hunters.
It was a strange season.
Why?
I just feel like all the big boys were gone by the time hunting rolled around. You know, I think the rut was definitely early this year.
I think the rut was definitely early. I mean, I saw them running around on Halloween for sure.
Right.
I mean,
well,
before
that's usually
Halloween.
When the rut is, though. Right. Halloween is like prime time, the golden
day. Yeah, but I feel like
day.
Last year we almost had, you know, it was earlier rut and then it happened again. Like there was kind
two
of a
ruts.
Late situation.
Yeah. There's just so much going on. It makes me so excited because you've got goose is open, duck is open. It's the last week for duck in Wisconsin. The gun deer season starts. Turkey is open. I mean, grouse, pheasant, mm-hmm. everything is open in Wisconsin. And the greatest thing about it, honest to God, is like being able to use what you kill to make Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, I definitely would have had a turkey for Thanksgiving, an actual live turkey, but I had a 30-06. I didn't really want to shoot the turkey. That was like 20 yards away with
in
a 30-06.
Florida, you can kill a turkey with a 30-06. With a rifle in Florida, you can, but it does take, there's something it kind of takes away from it if you're not getting those turkeys up tight and, mm-hmm. you know, and taking a nice ethical shot with a shotgun.
I also made a friend out in the woods when we were doing a deer drive.
You made a friend Ooh. In the
well,
woods during
yeah,
a deer
friend.
Drive?
Yeah, you want to know what it
well,
was?
Well, it's better than making enemies during a deer drive, that's for sure.
It was a cat. A cat came up to me and just Aww. Sat with me. During okay. they were driving towards me and I'm just sitting
That's
there
precious.
By a tree and I'm hearing something behind me, obviously too light for a deer. I'm like, what is this? Maybe it's a bunny. It's definitely not a squirrel because it did not sound annoying. But then all of a sudden this cat just
did
meowed at me
it,
and I'm
Danielle?
Like,
what did you name it?
Did you
what did
name
you name
it?
Your woods cat?
I did not name it. I said, hello, meow, meow.
Meow meow is a good name.
Let me tell you what I'm so the Fowl Life was in town. We did a ton of shooting. For the show, we did interviews with Annie Schwartz, the monster. And you can go back to the podcast. You know, you can listen to our podcast Raised in Wisco on Danielle.
Spotify. You can listen to it on Spotify. You can listen to us on YouTube, Facebook, and Civic Media. civicmedia.us. Raised in Wisco. I'm going to the thumbs up from Jess. Yay, all me. Right. High five.
Good. Well, I, you know, oh, and I would.
Did I say Spotify? Yeah, it was Spotify. Spotify Music.
Yes.
There we go.
I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. And if you want to listen to us, you can listen to us live on Saturdays on any Civic Media station throughout the great state of Wisconsin. So we had this week, which is just kind of the culmination of the hunting season here in Wisconsin. And the weather was great. The weather got a little colder. Mm-hmm. I think it got the deer up and moving. I hunted goose, ducks. I killed a turkey and literally made it for Thanksgiving. I'll tell you that recipe coming up, which is an awesome recipe. And I had one day to sit in the deer blind. So I sat one day in the deer blind with my little nephew, Harrison, which was so cool. And right at the last minute, a doe came out and I had the 30-06 and, you know, shot the doe. Instant, very ethical kill. And I'm not even joking. Brad's Processing out in Watertown, they had that done. They've got it done already. It's in my freezer. I picked it up today.
Wow.
That's crazy. And his stuff's so good. He probably doesn't want me telling people about it because he has so many. I came Thanksgiving night and I pulled up in his driveway and he and his wife pulled up there. They look at me. They're like, Joel, what are you doing? We're not open. You cannot leave that dead deer carcass here. And I looked at them and I as best I could, I put on my pouty eyes and he's like, oh,
little puppy dog eyes.
So I did gather. I went to go pick up the stuff. He's like, we can't leave it here. You got to pick it up. So I went and I put together a basket of provider spices and the
perfect
right wing sauce. And I gave him a nice little Christmas bonus on it. And so Brad,
it's a bribe basket.
It is a little bit of a Brad. It's a Bradley bribe basket. Brad's Processing. But it was great. What I'm really excited about, producer Jess, turn your mic on.
Okay. Ooh.
We. So now duck is closed already.
Yeah.
How
first.
Nutty is that? That
drives sad.
That drives me nuts how short the duck season is. Because mm-hmm. those things are so delicious.
They are delicious. I did not shoot enough this season, so.
I didn't either. I think I killed four and they're already gone. We had Tuffy Stone National Grill Master in town. They're gone.
Yeah, they're gone usually the night of.
Delightful. Mm. Eating wild mallard duck. But I want to talk to Jess because one of the cool things for me, I mean, I love the heat of it, but it actually gets to me, someone who hunts, and you guys can speak to this too. When you're that excited about hunting, you don't know what species to hunt when they're all open.
How do you choose?
It gets like confusing and frustrating. Mm-hmm. So when the seasons start to close, it actually gets a little better. And Jess, our producer, is going to go turkey hunting with us for the first time ever in her life. She's going to hunt with us. And I want to know, so we put a date on the calendar, Jess. I want to know what I want the listeners to hear this because one of the things this show is important to this show and important to us on this show is bringing new people into the comfort zone of hunting or being part of the outdoors or fishing or just enjoying Wisconsin for what it has to offer. I want to know, you as somebody who has never been exposed to this in your life, we've become friends and work colleagues with and work fantastic with. This is something so outside of anything you've done before. What are the thoughts and feelings that you're going through as the time gets closer for us to hunt together?
I'm really excited to experience this because I've been trying to be more conscious about eating well, not just for myself, but for this world, for the environment. And so much of the food that we eat is traveling thousands of miles to get to us.
Yep.
And the meat that we're eating, that it comes from animals who did not live good lives.
Yeah. I mean, purchased meat.
A lot of purchased meat from stores is coming from animals that lived their entire lives in a small cage.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just hit on something that's not talked about enough. You know, you're always going to have the people who are diehard hunters and diehard Second Amendment people. And then you're always going to have the people who are diehard anti-hunters. You're going to have those on the fringes. But I've always said, if you are a meat eater and we keep moving more toward a paleo, we're learning that protein is really one of the healthiest things you can put in your body. And then if you want to talk about eating organic protein, the animals we're hunting are living off the land. I mean, when we hunt ducks and geese, they're living in some remote corner of Canada for, you know, 9 months out of the year. Very often they're eating grasses and wild rice and the things that, you know, and they are eating from farm fields. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the things that I think brings the right and left philosophies politically together is this commonality of wanting to eat healthy food.
Absolutely.
And if an animal lives its entire life free and gets whacked one day, to me, that's almost more ethical than an animal that's born in a cage, raised in a cage, and killed for food.
I think that's quite true. And that's one of the reasons why I've been interested in hunting. And it was not something that I ever thought that I had a path to get to.
And then God works in mysterious ways, Jess.
That is true. So this was, it was a bit of kismet to be paired with you as your producer.
Good word too.
And I'm really excited for this opportunity. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I have to be honest. We had Anastasia was our producer for quite a while, and we got along great, and it was fantastic. And then we found we were going to have a new producer, and as always, there's just a little bit of, you know, wonder: is it going to work out right and everything?
Sure.
And I'm so glad to have you back outside of the fishbowl there for us, helping us out, because
absolutely, it
makes me. And I have to tell you, I make no mistake about it. I'm downright giddy about it because there's nothing more exciting to me than bringing somebody from the outside to the understanding or insight of what's in my brain. I do it to a fault.
I don't think any of us know what's going on in that brain so far into that. I mean, there's so many layers of cowboy hats that you have to get through.
You went right to cowboy hats?
I did.
I have so many hats.
I know.
I wear so many hats.
Okay, sure.
Make fun of the old guy who's in the room. That's fine. I'm fine with that. But it makes me downright giddy to help expose people with the understanding that I never put the pressure on them to enjoy it or like it. But I think that in life, there are understandings that happen between people. And hunting in the outdoors, fishing, even kayaking, you'll never catch me in a sideways banana. In even mountain climbing, all those are things that we can find commonalities in. And I'm not trying to wax like, you know, softy here, but when you have connections with people and you find what the connections are, you can so very often solve the other things in life that people end up fighting about or end up, you know, grousing back and forth about that are really not worth it. Because when you find commonality, all of a sudden you start to realize that, hey, that person, they're not crazy. They just have a different way of looking at things. And I think that is something important to me.
It takes all kinds of people to live the life we live.
It really does. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things, and you'd never ever say to yourself, hunting is that common denominator that's going to bring people together. But Danielle.
It is.
Yeah.
I mean,
think
it's connected
it
to food and food. Everybody's a great
food.
Unite.
Food
is spiritual. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
What we eat and drink into our bodies becomes part of our souls. And I truly believe that. And I truly believe that is why the ritual of sitting together and breaking bread is so important. Mm-hmm. And you know, Danielle and Ellie, don't you just get this overwhelming feeling when you bring someone into it?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Go ahead, Ellie. I know you bring tons of people being what you do.
It is so rewarding.
I want to hear about that, but I'm curious because it really does mean so much to me. And that is one of our goals on this show, is to share that with people. And I know because of my last name and because of what I did for a living and because of who my wife is, I know there are people who prejudge me based on what they think they know about me. And part of the neat thing about Raised in Wisco and Civic Media is I get an opportunity to show people that we can all get along and figure it out together. I can't wait to tell you about this recipe and the hunt coming up.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wisconsin, you're listening to Raised in Wisco. Danielle Fairman.
Joel Clayfish.
I like how we just did that right there. That was good. That was like on cue and planned almost. You know, we're talking about what it means to bring somebody into hunting, into the hunting world. And I don't mean to just specify it on hunting, but I think to me, hunting is kind of the most visceral of the outdoor activities. I mean, let's be honest. It's the most, it has an element of violence. It has
everybody loves a good violence.
It has an element of care that must be taken for the safety and literally life of other human beings.
Absolutely.
It has an element of the gravity of taking a life in order to do it successfully, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're killing an animal, which I think is not something to be taken lightly. We're
absolutely
talking with Jess, the producer. You know, first off, let me just tell you, I want to welcome you. We'd love to have you along on Raised in Wisco on 13 Civic Media stations throughout Wisconsin Saturdays. You can hear our podcast. You can go back and listen and say, what are they talking about from that before show? Go back and listen. It's worth it. I'm not kidding. If you want to laugh.
I listen to it.
Do you really?
I hope so.
Well, I hope
it's fantastic.
You listen to it.
Whenever I need a good laugh.
Half the time you're on it, Ellie. Ellie Mae Smoller's in the studio with us today. Our on again, off again fill-in host. So it's great to have you here. And I'm keeping a little secret.
Ooh.
About, well, I'm, you know the secret, Danielle.
Oh, wow.
I'm not keeping it from
I know
you.
The secret?
You do.
Do I know the secret?
Is it our secret?
I'm
is
not
it the
sure
secret
Jess
from
knows.
Me?
No, no,
is it
no,
a triangle
no, no.
secret?
Is it a super secret?
No. No. We didn't listen.
A triangle, Danielle.
This, our... Our
where did that life go?
Danielle.
Jess, can I just say I'm never the one to walk on the line here. If it's ever walked on, Danielle
is
the one.
My name is Danielle Fairman. I cross the line.
I'm familiar with yes. it.
This is the
my
circle
purpose
of
this
our
show.
Our circle of trust extends beyond the fishbowl into the producer's lounge. I just want to say. And Jess is our
Everyone's doing great. See, my purpose of the show.
Take a deep breath.
Is this is why I listen to the podcast.
And humor to this and the dog.
Even Bandit's laughing.
Oh yeah,
I think Bandit
internally.
I'm laughing inside too. The
secret.
The secret that's coming up. I'm just going to say this.
Bush's baked beans.
No.
Oh.
The secret has to do with Danielle.
Ooh.
Ellie.
Yes.
Jessica,
and our new friend.
Jessica.
Not producer Jess.
And not producer Jess. A different Jessica. And.
And.
Palmettos, palm trees, and wild boars.
Yeah, now I know what it is.
I'm so excited. Yeah, we've talked about it in front of you, Jess. I'm so excited to talk to you about that. I'm stuttering.
I'm stuttering. I've known you for how long? You never stutter.
From time to time, I do, evidently.
Friday, we are heading to 75.
No,
I am.
We're, okay, everybody, we're heading south on Friday.
Yes.
To Yeehaw.
It's not coming up. This is called a tease in radio. Jessica.
Danielle, we have to button up the secret.
Jessica
Producer Jess is burying her head in the fishbowl right now, but she's laughing, and that's always one of my goals. Let's get back on track for a minute.
There was a track?
We're going to find it.
I take the road less
traveled.
Danielle is famous for throwing us off base. I would like to point out to the people listening, there are no substances used in the creating of this show either, by the way. This is 100% stone sober natural.
Just so, water and Mountain Dew.
Water and Mountain
and
Dew.
And a burrito. Tonight,
Taco John's.
And hash browns in a bowl.
Taco John's. No, they're not hash browns.
They're tater tots.
Do not call a potato ole a tater tot.
Hey, what about finding that track?
Back on track with Jessica. We're talking about hunting literally being the most visceral of the outdoor activities. You have to be the most conscious of safety. You are taking the life of an animal in a successful hunt. You have at risk the lives of human beings. And so, and pulling the trigger on something and killing it, whether it's bow or gun or air gun, is a daunting responsibility.
Yes.
So we were talking with producer Jess, who is set up to hunt with us, and she was telling us a little bit, Jess, about how you're excited but slightly apprehensive. What do you think goes through the mind of I want to know what goes through the mind of someone who's never done something as with such gravity as this before, because I'm always trying to drag people kicking and screaming or walking into hunting with me, but I never want to be the person to force it. And I always want them to naturally feel they can go as far with it as they feel comfortable. So what is going through your mind? What was it like telling people you were going to actually hunt? What were some of the reactions of some of the folks, you know, who may or may not be hunters? I'm so curious about this.
Well, let me tell you this. I am one of those people who, if I see a spider in the house, I will get a little cup and I will take that spider outside.
Okay.
I will not squish it.
I'm going to interject right here.
Okay, sure.
Because I do that all the time. Ladybugs, butterfly, anything that I see that I'm not going to actually use, I'm trying to keep that life alive. Unless it's a mosquito or some annoying little bug. Right.
Mosquitoes are the only bugs that I will
decimate.
I will murder a mosquito. However, I think that's self-defense because
that's
spiders are also self-defense in my world.
Yeah, no, that's
so
true too.
So what goes through my mind is that weighing of a life. And the thought that I've been sort of wrestling with is in that moment of trying to decide if I'm going to pull the trigger, I will consider the creature's life and that
as you should.
And I do think that. So that's something that's been going through my head when I've told people that I'm going to go hunting. Mostly they've been like, interesting. Okay. and they're like, how, why? And I've sort of explained my connection. And then it's sort of been like, oh, okay. Yeah. That sounds like a good experience to have, something, nice. Something new. So that's kind of where I'm at. That's kind of what's going through my head. And I'm excited to have this experience and just sort of see what it really is like.
Yeah, the pressure's on. I don't know if we'll ever even have anything in front of us that we'll have to contemplate pulling the trigger on. Nah. I mean, that's hunting, right? To hear you say that gives me such peace and joy. I can't even tell you that because as somebody who loves it so much and has such a passion for it, to know that there are those out there who may have had a preconceived notion who are willing to step into the ring, whether they throw a punch or not, doesn't really matter.
I mean, if you put me in a ring, I will throw a punch. Okay.
But I think a common misconception of hunters is that, oh, they just must hate animals. They're out there killing them all the time. And that is something that's simply not true. I mean, I've nearly gotten in accidents stopping for a squirrel who couldn't decide which direction he was going to run.
Yeah,
in
me
the
too.
Road.
Stopping for turtles.
Yes. At a four-way light or at a light, about 2 dozen, 3 dozen geese are crossing. They're taking their sweet time. I park in the middle of the intersection with my hazards on, and I go out there and herd the geese. Yes. Like, hurry up, let's go.
I know.
Yes. Oh, I shut down a freeway.
I know. Yes, I heard the story, Danielle.
I shut down a freeway.
I don't know that story.
And you got to stick around
and their family
because we're going to talk about the road trip for Raised in Wisco to Yeehaw Junction, Florida. Woo. What we're going to be doing there, what we can expect from Toothless Karaoke to some of the best catfish and swamp cabbage you could imagine.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump in Paris for the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral. Before the ceremony, he met at the Élysée Palace with President Emmanuel Macron, who thanked Trump for his support when the fire broke out in 2019.
You were at that time present for the first time, and I remember the solidarity and your immediate reaction. So, welcome back again.
Well, thank you very much.
We are very happy to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Before departing for France, Trump continued to voice his support for Pete Hegseth, his nominee for defense secretary, who's denying allegations of sexual misconduct, excessive drinking, and financial impropriety. The FBI has joined the search for the killer of the UnitedHealthcare CEO in New York City. Authorities have recovered a backpack they believe belonged to the shooter. Ceremonies today at Pearl Harbor. Today marks 83 years since the Japanese attack that killed more than 2,300 American service members. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks lose to the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Boston Celtics 111-105 last night. Damian Lillard had 31 points. Chris Middleton scored 11 points and had 5 assists. In his return since surgery on both ankles last summer, he was greeted by the Celtics with some physical contact, but says he was ready for it.
You know, something that's been happening to me, you know, play groups, one-on-one sessions, workouts, feeling that contact. Of course, the contact is a little bit more during the game, but, you know, I needed that. I needed to feel like what it feels like to get hit. Fall down on the floor and, you know, not really worry about anything. So that felt great. But I knocked down the shot too in the free throw. But, you know, just cool with it.
The Bucks are in Brooklyn tomorrow against the Nets. The Women's College Volleyball Tournament, the Badgers and Golden Eagles are in the Sweet 16, headed to the regionals next week. Last night, the Badgers beat number 7th ranked Georgia Tech at the Fieldhouse in Madison 3-1. Marquette held out in a thriller over Utah 3-2. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly cloudy, breezy, a high near 39. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low near 30. Partly sunny for Sunday with a high near 39. For Monday, a few sprinkles with a high near 42. 31, the high on Tuesday with flurries. Wednesday's high, 22.
Right now, 35.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Baby, when I think about you, I think about Wisconsin. That's right. I gotta hand it to Kid Rock, honest to God. Great artist all around, just plain fun. Probably not the best cover of that song, though.
No, absolutely not. I mean,
you can literally hear the auto-tune in the background as he's singing. I love doing this show. I mean, I'm so excited, and I'm so excited to have you along any corner of Wisconsin. I had a chance to go on another outdoor show last week and had a great time talking to them about why Raised in Wisco is a show for everybody. And nothing is a better microcosmic look at that than producer Jess, who's going to hit the turkey field with us. We ended up like mashing up schedules. We have one day to do it, mm-hmm. one afternoon.
Yeah,
because the morning didn't work that day. And so we're going to try in the afternoon, which is tougher to kill turkeys in the afternoon.
It is.
And Jess, that's all it takes is one time to go out and you're hooked.
Yes, that is all it takes.
So be prepared.
Well, I mean, I do love being outside. That part is never a problem.
Well, it's cold, though.
I like the cold.
Okay.
Oh,
so do I.
Perfect.
And we're going to bring a little Mr. Buddy heater along.
Yeah.
So, and
Promised heaters. I've been promised snacks.
Oh, we'll bring snacks. I always bring like a little charcuterie board or something, like at least like cheese and sausage.
Yeah. Well, Ellie's
don't
going
take
with you guys.
Pretzel rods.
You know, Ellie's
going to
bring all the snacks, though.
Are you going?
I don't
in
think
lieu
I'm
of
going.
Danielle?
No.
Danielle, you're supposed to be going.
I think you're going.
I'm on
Danielle.
Vacation.
No, Danielle can't come.
Oh, are you
going to
be gone?
Yeah. What day are we talking?
Okay, you're going to need to cancel your vacation, Danielle.
No,
I'm going to
the Virgin Islands to go deep sea fishing.
Oh, wait, I was supposed to be going to do that with you. Wait, so now do I go turkey hunting or go to Virgin Islands? This is a toss-up. I don't know what to do.
That is the most Wisconsin thing I've ever heard. It's a toss-up between going turkey hunting and Virgin Islands.
Wait a minute. So are we going turkey hunting? Because they had a fish fry and cutting. I was supposed to go to that. Come on, you guys. No way.
Speaking of the Wisconsin thing to do.
If Danielle can't go, then I would be very honored to go with.
Well, I have a really super big blind, so there'd be room for three of us to go. And it is fun. That is one of the fun things about turkey hunting is I almost always try to go with somebody else.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can shoot the baloney kind of quietly. And then if they start coming, everybody just gets all excited
and
together.
And one person
it's
can
great.
Fall asleep. The other person can stay awake.
Jess, if
That's
Joel,
true.
If we get sick of Joel, we can make him sit in the car.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, Ellie is actually, you're an actual turkey hunter, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can take, wait a minute, how did I get pushed out of this deal? I have seven.
Jess, I have a heater and a blind. We're good.
We're all set, baby.
Jeez. Well, I want to go.
Joel, if you want to come, we're going to go turkey hunting.
I think he has a thing that day.
I think we just spun this around.
No.
Girls' day.
Forget you guys. I'm going to the Virgin Islands. You can now. That's it.
Wow, we just definitely did a weird shift.
Yeah. But, you know, we were talking about all of the reasons I get so excited about taking people hunting, especially who have never been out there. And I know, Danielle and Ellie, you've taken people. Mm-hmm. Ellie, you're part of the First Hunt Foundation.
Yes.
And that's the basis of the First Hunt Foundation is to take people on their first hunt.
Yes.
So,
beautiful.
I mean, isn't it just like it becomes more important than hunting yourself?
So for me, when we take out new hunters, it's their very, very first hunting opportunity and experience. They will never forget that day ever. It's the same for us mentors though. Like I remember all my mentees, exactly where we were, what we were hunting, the feelings of the day, the discussions of the day, getting the new hunters amped up, ready to go. It's just such a beautiful experience. I mean, I'm more hooked on that honestly now than the actual hunt. I get so much joy out of watching a new hunter just fall in love with the outdoors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
that's
I know.
Beautiful.
It, well,
that's
beautiful.
That's going to be you soon,
yeah.
too, though. And you've taken a lot of people out, Joel Clayfish.
That's like my thing, man. Mm-hmm. There, I love more than anything. And I usually take them turkey hunting for the first hunt. Once in a while I'll take them bird hunting, but turkey hunting, because you have a much higher probability of seeing animals.
Is a turkey
animals.
Not a bird?
I'm sorry, waterfowl. Rather than waterfowl hunting, you have more chance of, if you're scouting pretty hard and you're watching the patterns of turkeys, there's a much better chance of getting somewhere where they're going to come out in the afternoon at some point, or the morning at some point. And if I always say, if they're out, you got a chance to kill them, because I'm going to set the scene here. You have your decoys out, and listen to me, folks. If you're one of these spring turkey hunters, and spring turkey hunting is the greatest because they are in the turkey rut at that point. They're chasing. They're gobbling. They do the same thing in the fall. They cannot help their instincts. People say, oh, decoys don't work. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you an inside secret. I put out a quarter strut or half strut Jake in the fall. I put an upright boss hen. And in the fall, you can hunt hens and toms, so males and females in the fall, and then I'll put a feeder out with it. I don't care if it's hens or toms or jakes in the field. It's kind of like going to a bar.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of like being at a bar. It's like some, you know, the turkeys will walk in and they'll be like, eh. Who's that over there? Who's that over there talking to our friends? There's our friends over there. And then somebody's like, just chill out, bro. Just go have a drink and just chill. Leave it alone. Who cares? And they kind of like, okay, fine. And then they have a drink and then they're like, dude, they're still talking to our buddies over there. This is our turf, man. What's going on?
That's exactly what they're
just
thinking.
Have another drink. It's fine. And then all of a sudden,
a coyote shows up.
It doesn't matter if they're, well, that happens too, but it doesn't matter if they're hens or toms. They puff up and they got someone in on their territory and they can't help but come over to start a fight. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. And that's when you kill them and eat them. But
delicious. Well, I'm excited to see that.
It's such very fun to watch.
It absolute dance. And in the fall, they're all together in groups. So you'll have an entire group of hens and jakes, which mm-hmm. are last year's babies that have become poults. So they're jakes or hens. They're young jakes or hens, and they're all mm-hmm. together. And then all the toms hang out together, and they'll have some of the older jakes with them too. And I'm telling you, if we get to see the dance, it will blow your mind. Did you ever see the movie West Side Story? Or
no,
the show West Side Story?
The
Sharks and the Jets. It is like a territory battle with turkeys. And they're super social, so they cannot help themselves. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited about it.
Absolutely. I got excited when I saw them out deer hunting. Still get excited
every time. So much fun to watch.
And when you call for them and they call right back.
Yes.
Such a rush. My first hunting experience was not a turkey, was squirrel hunting.
Is like, that why you love them so much?
I guess so. I have no idea.
They're delicious.
They are delicious. Yes. They taste
like
are.
Their legs are like chicken wings.
They are.
It is a lot of work.
Yeah.
But you know what?
It's worth it.
And I do love the flavor. It's a little nutty.
Not too bad. But a little.
Thank you, Jess. It's a little nutty.
We haven't had a dad joke lately.
What do you, I just had one.
I know.
That's because you guys have been taking over the dad jokes lately, I feel like. But yeah, squirrel hunting is great. Now, here's one of the coolest things. Raised in Wisco is going on a road trip. We are going into the bowels of redneck Florida.
Yeehaw.
We are going, you laugh, we're going to Yeehaw Junction,
I know.
Florida.
I have my cowboy hat
packed.
We're
going to go down there with Keith Parlier.
I do not have cowboy hats. So.
Keith Parlier of
we'll find you one.
Parlier Gator Harvesting. Oh, we'll buy one down there. I mean, the middle of Florida, many people have very many misconceptions about Florida. Everybody thinks of Florida as the coasts, like, oh, surfing, what's up, dude? You know, that kind of thing. Surf style. Clothing. The middle of Florida is very, very much like the middle of Arkansas or any other southern state. You've got, you know, rednecks, which I consider myself one. I'm very proud to wear that title. Belt buckles, you know, flannel shirts, chasing hogs and gators, you know, through the palmettos and
Danielle,
palm
our
trees.
People.
Our people. Yes. Yeah, so I'm really excited. I mean, you guys,
we're actually going home is what's happening, Danielle.
You guys, I mean, yes, you guys share the heritage with the folks on the inland side of Florida. So Ellie's going, Danielle's going, Jessica Thielen's going, and I'm going as the chaperone, I guess.
We don't really need a chaperone, do we, Danielle?
No, absolutely you don't.
More not. Like a handler to bail us out of jail.
Designated driver.
Yes.
The person to bail out. Yep. Bail you out of jail. So I'm super excited about it. I talked to Keith today. He's watching a bunch of gators for us in a grove. We're going to hunt a grove and we're going to hunt gators down there. And then I talked
to... So what are we using to harvest them, to shoot them?
Usually we shoot a 22 250 or a 243.
Ooh.
So you want a real fast... You want a fast bullet because you don't want to, you have to shoot them in the head, because if you don't do that, you will hit them in the body. They go to the bottom and then you're in the swamp feeling around with your feet for an injured gator.
I remember
gator.
You telling us that.
I'm going to not that do that, that part.
Was yes. it Keith that jumped in, yes. jumped in the swamp with a gator you might have just injured?
Danielle, I feel like you would do that. You went noodling.
Yeah, Danielle, I would feel like you would do that as well.
Yes. I mean, if I have my Crocs on, yes, but
you're going to get your Croc with the Crocs?
See, that was a dad joke right there.
I was waiting for that one.
One for me.
You're going to get your gator with a Croc. Yes, that's that is funny.
Well, I don't want my toes going in the...
Do we get to shoot before, do a little target practice?
Because when you do shoot at a gator, you've got to hit it in like a 3x4 diamond plate. Because I'm telling you, the last thing you want to do is be wading through the swamp water with your feet for an injured gator.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it.
Danielle, we got to be on
your
game.
I only need my hands to operate machinery, so I guess if I lose a foot or...
No, we're not going to lose
There's no amputating things while we're there.
Please not amputate things.
Sorry, Mom.
Journey.
I'm going to be safe, I promise.
Well, I always tell people, and then I've got Christopher, who's now, we've got two single wides down there, trailers, that operate on a generator. So at
we're
camp...
Glamping.
It's maybe it's definitely not glamping. There's nothing glamorous about it.
It's ramping, redneck camping.
Right there you
there
go.
There you go. I like that one.
But I talked to Christopher. He's my ranch hand down there. He helps out. He's got all the stands baited. He said there's hogs coming in every night. We're going to have some night vision firearms to use.
No way.
I'm going to set you guys up at different blinds throughout the palmettos there. And you want to talk about a crazy experience as the sun is setting, when you are sitting in the palmettos of Florida, you have a chance of seeing black racers, rattlesnakes,
black
wolf
racers?
Spiders, snakes.
Tarantulas, I want to go in there like Tomb Raider and
scorpions, and you sit in the dark and always hear the hogs coming before you see them, and they're grunting and snorting away. And I always tell people, are like, oh, you gator hunt, that's so dangerous. A hog will kill you 1,000 times before a gator will.
Cool.
Absolutely. Every time a hog will kill you.
Tomb Raider doing it.
So Danielle, make sure you have your Crocs on.
I'm gonna suggest some shoes with harder outsides on them, Danielle.
Steel toe Crocs.
They don't make steel toe Crocs, do they?
Yes, they do.
I'm sure someone does.
Come on.
Seriously?
Any type of Croc you can think of, they probably make it.
They probably do. So Jess, producer Jess, this year, mm-hmm. turkey hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, gator hunting. In the Everglades of Florida.
She's not. She didn't say no. Interesting. She's saying there's a chance.
I think you and I are creative types, Jess. I mean, we may have to pool our resources together and actually write a book or write a story or write mm-hmm. like a short story get some content out of the fact of our different backgrounds colliding in such a crazy way. I'm so excited. Are you guys excited about it?
No, I'm not excited at all whatsoever. Okay. Sounds like the worst thing.
I apologize for giving you such a softball question there, Daniel.
I am so I'm going to
start rethinking the two of you across from me during the show. I feel a little beat up. I'm a little triggered.
She is excited, and I know this to be true because she's texting me the forecast during the day.
Your response was truck, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Well, here's the funniest thing about it. I talked to Christopher yesterday, and I said, and he's got a real thick accent. I'm like, hey, how's camp? Is everything all right after the hurricane? He's like, well, it look all right now. And I go, what do you mean it looks all right now? Well, remember them blocks that was under the trailer? I'm like, yes. Oh. He's like, it ain't on them blocks no more. But it landed upright, and it's pretty even, so I think we'll
pretty
be all
even.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
That hole under the shower that goes down into the basement area where the water collects, it seems to be still lined up. So
that's nice.
That's all we need.
All right.
Yeah,
that sounds perfect. Good.
Yep. Give us some coffee and shower. We're good.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to tell you what we had for Thanksgiving. It was awesome. And we're going to discuss a quick alligator recipe.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors. I'm Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside Danielle Fairman. Ellie Mae Smollers in the studio with us today. And Jess, just outside the fishbowl, running the joint. Jess, good to have you here, Jess.
Indeed.
It's kind of funny for me to say good to have you here because the entire thing would not happen without her.
Yes.
So
I push the buttons.
She does. I push the buttons. And then you guys all push my buttons. Yeah. That's how it goes.
It's a team effort. I get it.
I'm so excited. Danielle and Ellie and Jessica Thielen and I are heading to Florida. We're taking Raised in Wisco on the road. So we're going to be raised in flow grown for a week. We're going to be flow grown. I'm so excited about it.
I'm very excited.
One of the things I'm actually excited about is I call it toothless karaoke.
I'm not excited for that.
Why? I'm pumped.
I'm ready now.
There is karaoke.
I'm not a karaoke person at all.
You will be. Turn around and walk out.
Come on.
Bye.
Really? Even if we're singing?
You're going to sing with me, Danielle.
No, yeah, absolutely not.
Seriously? No.
You're gonna.
What if I do a little Stone Temple Pilots or something? And I feel the time's a ways to go.
Nope.
Not even that. That didn't work. That wasn't bad, was it, Jess?
No, that was great.
Appreciate it.
Jess and I are
going to sing together sometime. So I'm super excited about it because we're going to hunt gators. We're going to hunt hogs. We're going to have authentic Southern food, which I absolutely love. And then there's a little steak joint there called Norby's that has the most incredible ribeyes. They make them butter sauteed in cast iron.
You're talking my language.
Out of town.
Woo! It sounds delicious.
So I'm so excited about that because, guys, Raised in Wisco, after all. What kind of show is it?
A cooking show.
It's a cooking show because life
evolves around food.
Evolves around food. And it does when you're in the outdoors too. And that's why we love being in Wisconsin. There's so many options. But I'm going to talk this week about an alligator dish that I'm going to invite you to try with any type of meat.
There we go.
Flank steak. You can buy cheap flank steak. You can take chicken. You can take wild turkey. You can take goose, wild goose, Canada goose, duck breast, any type of meat. I do this with alligator. You pound your meat out into strips that are about 5 inches long and about 1/8 to 1/4 inch thick, okay? Take whatever meat you want, pound it out into strips like that. Then you put it in a tin foil or aluminum foil bin and soak it in olive oil, oregano, garlic, and salt and pepper. All right. So I want olive oil, oregano, garlic, and salt and pepper overnight. You throw it in the tin and you leave it sit overnight at least one night. So you put a ton of strips of meat. Then you head to the closet. Do you know? Nobody's going to figure this one out.
You grab a sock.
You go.
You head to the closet and grab a hanger.
Yeah. Ah, what
do we? I think Ellie's onto it. I think she's figuring it out. You take a hanger and you bend a circle around the bottom of the hanger. Now make sure it's one of those metal hangers that does not have plastic.
Yeah, I was
going to
say not a plastic
do
hanger.
Do not take a plastic
who
hanger.
Who has
do
a metal hanger still?
Everybody. I have tons of metal hangers.
I have zero.
Danielle, we're a different generation.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
You probably have the ones with the
my metal hangers are not old, you weirdos.
No, you got a road dry phone, right?
I am smack dab in the middle of Gen X, and frankly, Danielle's very close to Gen X, and you act like you're a boomer, LA, so don't start with me, okay?
She roots herself into that generation. Joel.
And producer Jess is an old soul too, okay?
Jess, actually, I'm in three generations, so I think you're probably joining me there.
You take a hanger, make sure it's not, take a wire hanger, which is not some big strange thing, you freaks. And you bend it in a circle with the middle of the hanger going straight up. What are you doing? You're making a spit out of this, okay? Then you
like
take...
No.
Not
that one, Danielle.
Danielle. Not like an expectorate. Not like an expectorate. You... Jess.
We lost the track.
Jess.
Okay, so the hanger is
the hanger, not that hanger, Danielle.
And you make a spit out of it. You make a circle around the bottom and then have the hanger coming straight up on it. Then you take those strips of meat that have been soaking in olive oil, oregano, and garlic, and salt and pepper, and you lie them crossways on top of each other until they build up into a cone. Okay? You put the strips of meat on. Then you put that meat on a grill or a smoker and grill it or smoke it.
Make it like a meat teepee.
At a very...
It's more like a meat mountain.
It is kind of, it's like a gyro cone, for God's sake, people. I mean, you never go to
we're
a state fair.
Just trying
to get
like, a good picture.
Gyro mountains or meat mountains.
But no, wouldn't you go up to them if they had that?
Yes, I would certainly go up to them.
So I
got the first.
I'm done.
You're going to have to get it together, Danielle.
Danielle is now checking out for the evening.
She's gone.
Thank God Ellie's here. Danielle's face is bright red and she's tearing up. And you cook that until it reaches an internal temp of 160. And then you slice that meat off into a pita and you make a gyro out of it. So you do that with alligator meat, goose meat, flank steak, chicken, and it's unbelievable. Then you make a tzatziki sauce, which I make out of 50% daisy sour cream, or I will use Mexican sour cream called crema. That's even my favorite. And then you put half of plain Greek yogurt in there, and you add garlic and shavings, cucumber shavings, and that, and a squirt of lemon juice.
Delicious.
So you make tzatziki, and then you put some raw onions in there. You can skip them if you don't like them, and tomatoes if you want. Toast your pita. And I'm telling you, folks, I don't even know. I just ate, like, I stuffed myself with Taco John's. My mouth is watering talking about that recipe right now. It is so good.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah. So
I'm excited to make it from our alligator.
Yes. We're going to make stuff from alligator. What I want to know what you guys want to make, what you guys are going to make with your alligators if you get them.
Easy. I'm getting a custom pair of cowboy boots made.
Ooh, perfect. I got four pairs. I'm wearing one right now, a pair of my alligator boots. Danielle, what are you getting?
I want a belt. 1,000% Ooh, good choice. Belt. I need a belt.
Okay. And then, I'm wearing a gator belt, too.
I want a gunsling.
Ooh, oh, shoot. You got lots more you can get. You can get tons more.
Well, I don't know what else to get.
Well, we'll figure it out. That's for sure. Stay tuned. Make sure you listen to Raised in Wisco on our trip to the South. We're going to the Everglades on Raised in Wisco. Danielle Fairman is, Ellie Smoller is, Jessica Thielen is, and I'm going along too. Hopefully, pray for me that I survive. Thank you for listening to Raised in Wisco. We will see you next time.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide Text to Win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win starting Monday morning. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Thank you for listening to WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.